I want a Daniel Craig body.
Oh my God. Okay. So wait a minute. Hold on. I think this is really important. Okay. Do you listen to the rewatchables?
No.
Okay. So the other day, 3 days ago, I'm driving home from work and I've got a long commute, right? Like 50 minutes. And so I'm like, you know, I don't want to listen to anything about tech or sports right now. I want to listen to the rewatchables. So I go into it and it was the rewatchable on Casino Royale.
Ooh, great movie.
Great. Okay.
Yes.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yes.
So I'm listening to this rewatchable and they start talking about how Daniel Craig was the first Bond to really be fit. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Connery wasn't that fit. Brosnan wasn't that fit. Like, and they talk about the blue Speedo scene, right? He walks out of the water in the blue Speedo and I think he's in Monaco or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I get home and I'm like, how old was Daniel Craig in that movie?
Mm.
So I looked it up. How old was he, do you think?
43.
38.
Fuck.
But he's not 31.
Sure.
He's close enough to you or I that means that is still attainable. And I literally, and I'm not going to lie to you right now, and you're going to think I'm joking, but I screenshot Daniel Craig in a Speedo.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed my wife and said, this is my 40-year-old target, is by the end of my 40th year on this earth, I want to look somewhat like this. Obviously, I'm not going to be Daniel Craig.
What was her honest reaction?
Sure, honey. Like, is her honest reaction? And a little bit of like, I mean, I think she hopes it turns out.
But sure.
Unlikely.
We have changed. We have grown. We have experienced, you know, as you were talking about that and specifically talking about diets, I started thinking about our keto conversations 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And then our keto conversations 2 years ago and a year ago and 2 months ago. And we're in very different stages of life and of journey every step of the way. And I think this is something that is kind of unique in this premise, in this environment for us, is that this is something different. We both watch a lot of YouTube. We both listen. Well, I might watch YouTube a little bit more than you do, but
I think I watch as much as you. I actually really do watch a lot of YouTube.
It is good. Nowadays. It is good.
Yeah.
But we listen to a lot of podcasts, and I think what I get a lot of is how to lose weight, how to keto, how to cook foods, how to grocery shop.
Yeah.
What I don't get a lot of is how to continue, how to get back up, how to get back on track. And I think that's something that through us talking about it a lot, that helps both of us, right? So because it's been requested, it's our first official request. Let's talk about it, because I think right now you and I are in very similar, maybe slightly different, but overall very similar points. We both have big vacations coming up in within the next, I would say, you know, 2 to 3 months.
Yep, 78 days for me. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah, 100 for me. And again.
Oh, today's 100.
Today is 100.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So not that I have a countdown on my home screen or anything, but.
Right.
No. Right.
Who would do that?
Some crazy person. But we have both been able to be very focused and very dialed in and get to our goals. And then we've both also been very successful at falling back off.
Yep.
And enjoying the things that got us off track in the first place.
Right.
And we've both found success in getting back on. And this is just another step of that process. And so I don't know if I really want to talk about what we're going to do. I'm going to be honest. Like, we can. I know it's okay to repeat.
Not right now. But I actually don't think today's the day to
do that. Yeah, but here's what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about more so is this internal struggle that you and I both have individually that we share in common, where it's never good enough.
Yeah.
Where, like, I've been overweight 95% of my life.
Yeah.
And,
same.
You know, and I lost a shit ton of weight 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for most people, when they lose 90 pounds, regardless of how they look, they are happy with what they have.
Yeah.
I lost 90 pounds and I become obsessed with, I don't want to wear anything bigger than a small size shirt. If this shirt is too tight, something is wrong. And I'm sure there's somebody listening somewhere who hopefully somebody listening somewhere, pause, that will say like, hey, you have a eating disorder. And I probably do. I don't think I have an eating disorder in the sense of like, I'm anorexic. I'm definitely not bulimic. But I have an eating disorder for sure, in the sense of I can't control what I eat. And no matter how much progress I make, I'm not happy with what I see.
Okay, I think those are two different things.
Maybe they're.
But I think it's, this is a good starting point, because if someone's out there listening and they're overweight, one of the things that we discussed many, many years ago, and it was coming, you know, I think it was what, February of 20 that discussion happened.
Yeah. So I started March 9th of 20. So the discussion happened right before then.
Okay. So the discussion we had first was, how did we get here?
Yep.
And I think that's a really important starting point, because, you know, there's going to be someone that's 24 years old out there listening, someone that's 45 years old, and someone that's 65 years old. And they're all arriving at that destination for different causes. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there's a disordered eating part of the story. I want to talk about that for a minute. But there's also a body dysmorphia part of the story that probably is equally as important to gain some traction. And when you think about how you got here,
yeah,
and I'll never forget. So it's February of 2020, and you and I are talking about, we've arrived at this place where we need to make some pretty immediate changes. Now, we talked about the why and Peter Attia and lifespan and health span and all those things.
Yep.
And I think they're worthy things we should dive back into one day, but we don't need to do that this minute. Mm-hmm. But you and I came to being, I'm trying to not use terrible terms like obese, but like massively overweight.
Well, to be fair, like me way more than you.
I just think my frame carries it differently. I think we were both equally overweight. But here's what was different. Uh-huh. I remember talking to you and I'm like, yeah, I just, you know, I like drinking a bourbon at night, and obviously that's got calories in it. And I love a handful of Cheez-Its before bed. It's just delightful.
Still do.
And when I make a burger, like, I don't just make a third pound, you know, I make like 2/3 pound burger, and I eat this big, you know, lunch that I don't need. Mm-hmm. And do you remember what you told me about Burger King? What was your order?
Oh, yeah.
It was that day. You had been at Burger King that night.
Oh, that night? Gosh, I don't know, I don't know exactly, but if I was going to guess, it probably involved a couple Whoppers, a couple chicken sandwiches, some fries, and maybe some nuggets.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, well, that's fucking unfair, because I got fat drinking like a bourbon tonight.
Yeah.
And you get to eat 4 sandwiches. Well, like, at least you got to enjoy it.
We got there very differently, right?
Yeah, we got there really differently.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but both of those are a form of disordered eating. Now, both of us grew up in the Midwest, different ways of getting to the Midwest, but we both grew up in the Midwest, yeah, right? And I actually think this is common between my Midwest grandmother and your Persian mother, is you show love by eating seconds and thirds.
Yeah.
and while the way of saying the words are different, the idea of you don't love me because you didn't have 5 helpings is the same, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I was overweight my whole life. Like, now it progressively gets worse and worse and worse, right? But I mean, I don't remember a time where I was like the skinny kid in class. That was never really me. I was always pudgy. And then it just, as you get into, you know, past the days where your metabolism takes care of you, it just got worse and worse and worse, to a point where, oh my God, I have to run this pattern interrupt. So when you think about how we got there, and now you go to today,
yeah,
it's not, you don't weigh what you weighed then. I actually do weigh what I weighed then. Well, I'm actually equally as bad as I was. You're not.
Well, but if you weigh what you weighed then you definitely weren't as obese as I was. What I'm getting at is, I don't actually think that it's about that. It's not about the number. And I think this is something important to talk about too. And this is something I learned. And I learned this really, you know, to go back, like, you're the one who inspired me, right? We had a conversation about lifespan and health span. Yep. And I went back and I'd watched a YouTube video that you had made. Was it a year prior to that, right? Where you were starting a keto journey. And, you know, so these are the glimpses of positivity that I have, right? I think it's not about how much you weigh. It's not about what size clothing you wear, although that is the part I obsess with, is the sizing.
Sure.
It's about how comfortable you feel in your own skin and how confident you are with who you are.
Yeah.
And the challenge that I had then was that I wasn't confident in my own skin or happy with who I was because of how much I weighed and what size clothing I wore.
Right. And then that incurs the depressive cycle, which makes you do worse.
Right. And what's funny is that now I am happy. I mean, I need to lose 15 or 20 pounds, right? But I'm happy with how much I weigh. I should be very happy with the size clothing I wear, but now I'm not happy with the way I look.
Sure.
You know, but I arguably look a lot better, right? So it's,
you do.
I mean, I think it's really just, it's crazy because, like, at the end of the day, here's this, like, what you have been for me has been support and a friend and encouragement and reinforcement. And hopefully I've been able to do some of the same for you. And I think when you talk about dieting and when you talk about losing weight, you know, for me, the inspiration ultimately was my health span matching my lifespan.
Right.
And my lifespan matching my health span. And from day one, the one thing I didn't do was call it a diet because it needed to be a lifestyle change. And for 3 years, it was a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
But what I also realized is that for the first 40 years of my life, it was a different lifestyle. And like any other thing, when you get to the top, maintaining that is even harder. And that's where now the struggle comes in.
Sure.
And that's where we're back to where we are.
Yeah. I guess the difference, though, and I don't know if it's harder or easier, is when you've been there before, you both have the playbook to fix it now.
Yep.
Because we both know what type of diet, approach to take, and methodology works for each of us. Now, this is not going to be some podcast where we say everyone on earth should use keto.
Right? Sure. No, of course not.
Like, but I do think what both you and I learned is the both hormone balancing part of it, the cellular autophagy that happened from fasting, the limiting of calories because we both fasted and we reduced carbohydrates or were super easy for both of us to consume.
Yeah.
Had the net effect of keto being a very, very effective and adherent diet for us. Like most people, the reason keto is a bad diet is they don't adhere to it.
It's hard.
They fall off quickly.
Yeah.
You and I didn't really find it hard.
Correct.
It was challenging.
Yeah.
But I don't think you or I ever had a day after maybe the first month where it wasn't doable.
Yeah, I would actually say the hardest part of keto is the first 3 days. And it's not because your body's changing. It's because of all the things that you
electrolyte imbalance.
Well, it's just headache, all the things you're addicted to. Like you're addicted to a sweet taste. So you want whatever you associate with sweets. Or you're addicted to eating breakfast, which involves pancakes. Or whatever that looks like, right? It's breaking the habits. Now, oddly enough, I find myself almost never craving sweets and always craving salts.
Right. So here's what's interesting.
Yeah.
And I was, this is what I've meant, is the downside, though, is that you make these synaptic connections, right? Mm-hmm. When you don't understand diet principles at all, you associate low-fat foods with being healthy, which it's not that they're not, but they typically replace fat with sugar as the methodology to make you healthy, right?
Sure.
And so being low-fat is valuable in a caloric restriction, but at a caloric surplus, low-fat isn't any better for you than high-fat,
right?
Well, visceral fat and some of the arguments there. But anyway, notwithstanding. The thing that I've done, which is really hard, is because I associated beef jerky and a ribeye with keto and diet loss, then when I added back those carbohydrates and other things, I didn't stop those. So I actually ended up in the worst of both worlds, which you're is like high fat, high carb and calorie surplus. So like, I almost triple dipping at some point.
Yeah.
And so what I'm actually interested in is not the how we got there, because I think both of us could open our notebook and open our fasting app and open our food tracking app, and we know exactly what to eat, right? I know what you ate every day in Alabama. I could tell you exactly what to eat today and get you to lose 20 pounds in the next month and a half. It wouldn't even take that long.
Yeah.
But why does it feel harder now to go back and do it when you already know the play?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of reasons to that.
Okay.
One of the reasons is because somewhere in my mind, I know that I can always go back and do it again.
Okay.
So when I know, like last year for Hawaii, I did it. I had to lose some weight. I did.
I did too.
Right. Yeah. So I know I can do it again, right? So it's like that lends itself to like the, oh, I can cheat today, tomorrow, for a week, for a month, because I can just do it again. I can just do it again. And the reality is I can just do it again. And I believe that. And so that, you know, it kind of lets you be a little less disciplined, right? I think the other challenge is the habits. So for me, always getting back into it, the first couple of days are the hardest, right?
Uh-huh.
So I do a, you know, 18 by 6 fast. So yeah. 12 to 6 is my eating window. I come home from work. I get home at like 6:30, maybe 7 o'clock. Kind of a quiet night. Sit on the couch, watch some TV, grab a handful of nuts, right? Eat those. Yeah. Great. The next night, by the time I'm sitting on the couch, psychologically, I'm craving a handful of nuts.
Right.
And then a handful turns into two or three. And then what I find myself doing every night is eating some nuts or something. And it's not so much I shouldn't be eating nuts or whatever. It does a few things. One, it puts me over my calorie limit. Two, it probably puts me over my carb and my fat limit. And three, yeah, it breaks my fast. And so then what I find that's difficult is not doing that, right?
Yeah.
That first night of coming home and knowing I'm going to sit on the couch and I'm going to be fighting off this urge to go grab something to eat is incredibly hard. The mm-hmm. second night is a lot easier. By the third night, I'm not thinking about it again. But those three nights are the hardest. And so I think it is a combination of the two. It's getting back on track is very difficult. Just like anything. Anytime you change something in your life, the first few days are the hardest for you to go through.
Sure.
But also knowing, because, and this is maybe, you know, a little hidden gem that we have, is that knowing and believing in myself that when I have to do it, I will do it because I have done it.
Okay, but can I challenge where I think that thinking is tragically flawed?
Yeah.
And use a sports metaphor?
Uh-huh.
I could use Bradley Beal or James Harden. Which one do you want me to use?
I don't care.
It's the same story. So which one's more likable to you?
I don't know much about Bradley Beal. So
okay.
Let's go with Beal because I don't really care for James Harden.
Okay. I love James, but someone said on a podcast today that all Houston fans are
you only love like him because
James Harden apologists.
Yeah.
And we are. I love him even though he's not my team anymore.
He might be again.
Yeah, I know. I don't want that. Here's why James Harden and Bradley Beal will never be worth whatever money it would cost to have them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the Suns won't be good because I do think it'll fit, but where I'm concerned about him not being Ray Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a stat for Bradley Beal around the number of free throws that he attempted per game.
Okay.
Okay. So he starts his career in 2012. Okay. At this point, he's averaging 13 points a game. His career averages go up to 17, 17, 23, 22, up to 30, 31, and back to 23, right? Okay. So it's a little bell curve of his journey, right?
Okay.
Free throws attempted, 2.8, 2.6, 2.6, 3.2, 4.4, 4.5, 5.5, 8.0, 7.7, 5.1, 4.6.
Okay.
And if you looked at James Harden, you'd find the exact same stat line. And actually, most NBA players, you find that same curve mm-hmm. as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get out of any, like, you know, sports philosophy for a minute, what is the simplest reason to why all of their free throws attempted go down as they get older?
They drive less. They take.
Why?
Because they're older.
Why?
What do you mean why?
Because it hurts. They can't,
right.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
It does hurt to get hit all the damn time.
Sure.
And at some point in your career, you realize that you're going to get paid the same amount of money to take a step back three.
Mm-hmm.
As you are to drive to the hole.
Right.
So there's a bunch of kids out there that are James Harden fans that think James Harden made his bones in Houston on a step back three. But he didn't. That shot kept people honest. Mm-hmm. But what James Harden's skill was that first step to the left.
It's the Euro step.
He hit the hole.
Yeah.
And he got to the line.
Right.
And when he stopped getting to the line, every other number goes with it. It's because you don't have to respect the three anymore because mm-hmm. you know he's not going to drive on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can step out to the three now. Like, he's not going to get as many assists because he's not in the middle of the passing lane anymore. All the things go down. Right. And I'm sorry for the sports tangent. But it, I guess the thing that I'm acknowledging out loud is you and I are old. Mm-hmm. Not old in the way of, like, geriatric old, but, like.
Sure.
I think the likelihood of us achieving the same success as 3 years ago, you keep saying, well, I could do it, I could do it. Like, I think you're James Harden saying, well, I could go to the hole. I actually don't think you can.
Well, so, but see, okay, so I'm going to disagree with you. I do think we can. The difference is going to be, I'm not going to lose 90 pounds in 6 months, right? It's going to take longer. It's more work. It's more.
I don't think it's any more work.
No, no. When I say more work, what I mean is like where I might have lost, for example, a pound a day. Let's just round numbers, right? Which is incredibly difficult. Let's say 5 pounds a week or four pounds a week. Now it's going to be 2 pounds a week.
But wait a minute.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be if you did all the same things you did in Alabama. Your metabolism isn't running any slower.
The thermogenic effect of food does run slower as you get older.
No, it doesn't. No, that's not. That's not as widely disproven. Not from 40 to 44. From 50 to 90.
Sure. Okay.
What?
So you're saying that I won't be able to be as dedicated now as I was then.
Correct. I am saying, and same, I'm not putting this just on you, me too.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying the way we'll say it to other people is, well, what was I supposed to do? I got older. Of course it's harder for my body to respond.
Is this why guys get fat when they get married?
But, well, yeah. And it's,
love you, honey.
I mean, I divorce is the best diet I've ever been on. There is a piece of it where it's true.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be callous about it.
No, you're right. I mean, any breakup is, right?
I haven't met a lot of people that have gone through a breakup that didn't immediately feel great.
There's two times where gym memberships are like at an all-time high. The first of the year and any time a guy breaks up. Yep.
100%. Yeah. I think women too. I'm not going to make that about men.
Sure.
I think what's interesting, and I'm trying to figure out how to do, is if I'm James Harden, mm-hmm. right, and I'm getting ready to play the last 4 years of my career,
mm-hmm.
and know that I'm probably not going to go to the hole in the way that makes me a first-team All-NBA guard.
Yeah.
How do I either summon that ability again, mm-hmm. or I need to shift a different discipline to be able to – I mean, you have to be Ray Allen, right, where you just get so good at that corner three.
Westbrook.
That you find – Westbrook's terrible.
He still
– develop a different skill.
Still drives and he still passes. He still does it.
Yeah, well, he's also a little younger. I think you and I are going to have to come up with a different play, is what I'm saying.
What else is there? Like, we starve ourselves. We eat for like 45 minutes a day. Like, what are we going to do? What else is there to do?
But we don't do that. Neither you or I are doing that. You know what you and I do? We do that every Monday.
Listen.
You and I are so good on Monday morning. Oh, man. Monday mornings, though? You should see me and Amir's diet plan. We're both in the middle of a 20-hour fast.
Celery.
We're talking about how good we feel, how our skin looks great, how it'll never happen again by like Wednesday. We're disasters. What I'm actually calling you to the carpet on is sometimes one system informs another, right? Like, you have to do something to light up that aspiration.
Right. I go on a trip.
Well, I guess, you know what? You know what helped me start the keto thing?
Huh.
I did a 30-day vlog, and I knew I was going to be on a damn camera every day. And so there is a piece of me that thinks what I need to do is start up a vlog, a whatever, something that creates a purpose that isn't the diet itself, but I have to do the diet to fulfill the thing.
So, what you're looking for is motivation. And
and we have the trips. The trips are going to be a bit of motivation, but I got to be honest with you. I gave you crap the other day to get started early, and I haven't done any of the advice I just gave you.
Well, so here, and we can talk about this. Gosh, we're already at 30 minutes. We could talk about this forever. Motivation is part of it, right? But I also feel like we need to address something beyond this.
Okay.
How long are we going to keep doing this for?
Probably till we're dead.
At what point are we just going to say, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm okay just being fat again. Maybe you're not that fat.
But, you're not going
to
do that.
I know I'm not, but I want to.
You're so full of shit.
I feel like, I don't know, fucking Jordan retiring, coming back, because you just can't hang it up.
Okay.
And I just want to hang it up and enjoy cheesecake.
I want to make sure that the metaphors are appropriate. I compare myself to a guy that, you know, is overweight himself,
in good shape now,
or an overpaid almost star in Bradley Beal. You went with Jordan. It's a goat, little baby. High on the train
goat baby
of what you are. I if you need me to lie to you, I'm going to pretend like, oh, yeah, you're totally going to become enlightened this next year. You're going to lose 25 pounds and you're not going to worry about your body anymore. And you're just going to be happy with who you are and eat cake. But realistically, until one of us either has a heart attack or dies, we're going to be doing this.
Skinny fries.